Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Well, that made me feel like I should be in Miss Atten and Flares, you know. I haven't heard that one for a very long time, but very nice to hear it again. And someone else we're about to hear again, joining us on the line now from Revhead Central in Bathurst, is Daniel Whithouse. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, Doug.
Actually, you've probably moved on from Bathurst now, haven't you?
I have. It's safe to say that I've moved to kind of a bigger centre, but yeah, I had an interesting time in Bathurst.
It certainly sounds like it. This place seems to have lived up to its billing rather more than Newcastle is, in the sense that it's a much more closeted sort of town for gays and lesbians.
Absolutely. The closet is large in Bathurst and the surrounding regions, is the word that I've got. And even there seems to be this separation of people not really wanting to spend a lot of time in Bathurst Central because they kind of find it to be fairly rednecky, was the term used by one of the local health professionals.
So why did you go there particularly?
Yeah, as some people might know, the project that I'm doing in a national tour is a repeat of a project that happened with the Australian Human Rights Commission 10 years ago, and Bathurst was the place that they chose to launch it because they thought it was really important to start and launch the actual project in a regional centre. And Bathurst is about 3.5 hours drive from Sydney. Mm-hmm. And because they have, I guess, a strong history of a queer collective at the university, and there was also at the time the Queer Collaborations Conference, which for people who don't know, that's where a whole bunch of queer groups from all the universities get together once a year. Mm-hmm. And they thought that would be the perfect place and launching pad for a project like that, and it turned out that way. Mm-hmm. And so what I wanted to do was to go there kind of 10 years later and say, you know, have there been any differences, and also just to, you know, kind of pay homage to Bathurst itself for being the, you know, part of LGBT national history.
Yeah. So what did you find when you got there, when you did eventually find where you were going?
Absolutely. Look, I had a couple of misconnections and wrong turns, and which people can read about in my blog. But when I actually spoke to people, I'd love to say that I came up with something new. But this is kind of the stage of the tour where I kind of, it's like Groundhog Week with some of the schools and the health professionals I'm working with. But yeah, like I also found some refreshing stories about you know, with students in schools, but also, you know, found the usual kind of problematic ones that we've been hearing for weeks and weeks.
Yeah. It seemed to me that this was probably the least sort of advanced kind of place that you've been to for quite a while, where the schools really, for the most part, haven't really started tackling this issue yet and don't really know where to begin.
That's a really good point, and it would be also fair to say that of all the places I've been for probably the last 6 to 8 weeks, you know, Bathurst doesn't have really a history of kind of any organisations. It's not particularly well serviced by youth organisations or other kind of mental health organisations. So it's kind of, if things are happening, it's because the schools are taking it on board, and because it's far enough away from Sydney and kind of across the Blue Mountains, not a lot of people are going to be travelling out there anytime soon unless it's for work or for, you know, a big car race every year.
Mm. And the other thing that struck me was you made the point that there's a divide in the town too between the men who identify as gay and the men who have sex with men but don't identify as gay.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, talking to some of the kind of workers who work around sexual health, and they work with men who have sex with men and who don't identify as gay, they were saying that there have been some problems and some incidents in the past where you've got closeted men who will use, you know, places like Beats and toilets and parks and things, and that there have been a few incidents, like a few flare-ups between the closeted men and the openly gay men, where there have been actually some physical altercations. And some of the feedback that these workers have been getting when they talk to these closeted men who at times are bashing the openly gay men are saying they're giving us a bad name. They need to be discreet. And so what they're trying to do is, I guess, to pass in their community and not actually be seen to be gay themselves or bisexual, as it were. So,
well, that's a concept you mentioned several times in the blog. The whole thing about passing for straight.
Yes.
You know, I forget who it was you spoke to who said, you know, he didn't have too much problem around town because he could pass for straight, but if you couldn't pass for straight, it could be very problematic.
Yeah, that was Wade, who was part of the queer collective at Bathurst University, and I was really impressed by his self-awareness. He said, look, I haven't had really any problems, but that's for one reason and one reason only in Bathurst. I pass as heterosexual, people just assume that I am. And he said, you know, like, I'm very, you know, I tend to dress, you know, he was kind of almost calling himself boring, and he was almost wanting to be more interesting and self-expressive. And he said, you know, at this stage, you know, I just, that's not me. I don't feel I can do that, but because I kind of have my, you know, the work that he has, which they kind of call in town in Bathurst, he had this work where he had to dress a particular way and he had to have his hair a certain way, and he said that, you know, if he didn't pass, that he would have a lot of problems because, you know, they were also talking about the university being a haven for employment for people who didn't kind of fit into that passing kind of category.
Well, talking about people passing and people being straight, you seem to have met a remarkable number of what you described as guys who could be lumberjacks while you were up there. And I don't know whether it's frustration or whatever else setting in, but there were a lot of lumberjacks and future husbands in your blog this week. But particularly, you mentioned one who is a youth worker, Steve, and I thought his story was very interesting.
Yeah, look, Steve is a perfect example of, you know, if I think about, you know, how I see Steve and how a lot of other people, you know, would view him, is that, you know, he's kind of this big lumberjack, and he says himself, I'm from Tassie, I'm ex-army, I kind of, you know, I kind of walk around and I think that, you know, a lot of people are kind of scared of me without even, you know, speaking about me. So he's got lots of judgments that are being made before he even opens his mouth. But he really wanted to talk to me after a youth meeting that I went and spoke at, and he really wanted to talk about a young man that he was helping support, and he felt that he wasn't doing that well, and in supporting this young man who was caught kissing, sitting on the lap and kissing another boy at school. And the principal said, we don't have any problem with him doing that, but we're just worried that he needs some support around that, and we're worried about, you know, whether or not he'll be victimized and harassed. And basically what happened is Steve tried to talk to this young man, and having no concept and never spoken to gay people before and really not kind of, you know, had a chance to talk to other people about his own homophobia, really, really kind of said to me, you know, what can I do? What am I doing wrong? Well, you know, how can I better support this man? And then, you know, over the course of, you know, I think it was probably about half an hour, by the end of it, I'd, you know, tried to get him to, you know, be more himself when he was talking with this young man and be more transparent in, you know, saying, look, you know, this is how I feel. I want to support you, but, you know, I'm not necessarily good at it, but what can we do about it? And by the end of it, he just said, I feel like I've got a weight lifted off my shoulders. And he was glassy-eyed and leaning forward and thanking me so much. And I thought, you know, this man mountain was actually, you know, this big kind of soft marshmallow, which, you know, we know happens from the movies, but this was right before my eyes. And I kind of, it was something that I really didn't expect. And you know, it gives me hope that, you know, these are the kinds of people that we need to be talking about, because Steve can do, you know, Steve said at the end of it, he goes, I've got to see this young man tomorrow, but I want to ring him up today. I want to, like, shift it forward. I really want to go and talk to him and be open and you know, just be a better support for him, because this guy really needs it.
Yeah. Well, it's great when someone like that takes it all on board and you know, suddenly sees a way forward. And the fact that he actually wanted to make the moves, he just didn't know how.
Yeah, and he said, you know, like, he goes, I'm just really worried about, you know, I'm so worried in this industry of youth workers and health professionals that, you know, if I open up my mouth and say the wrong thing, then I'm going to get in trouble. And he said, you know, like, I'm really scared of doing the wrong thing. And, you know, he doesn't want to upset his colleagues. He doesn't want to upset the young person that he's supporting. And so he tends not to say anything. And he said, you know, he made the point of, you know, he thought he stuffed up with this young person. He tried to broach the subject with him once. It didn't work out. So he retreated and said, I'm not going to talk about, you know, that with him again because I'm just going to upset him. Not because he didn't want to, but just because he thought he was exacerbating the situation. And so he, you know, once he had a chance to talk to someone, he just felt, you know, like, it, yeah, as I said, like the world had come off his shoulders.
Yeah, well, that's a really good story and a great ad for what you're doing out there. Where's your next port of call?
Canberra for the all things federal election and all those wondrous things that are happening in the nation's capital at the moment.
Oh well, perhaps you can have a nice chat with Bob Katter, you know, see if he can change his mind.
Look, the independents are meeting with me tomorrow. They're scheduling me ahead of Julia and Tony.
Oh good, great to hear it. All right, we'll speak to you next week. Thanks Daniel.
Thanks everyone, take care, bye.
That was Daniel Whithouse there, currently in Bathurst, heading for Canberra. Oh dear. Even in redneck country, there are people who look like rednecks but aren't really. That's very nice to find out.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.